Whoa, sorry, man. I'm running a little late. Oh, Jesus.
What? I'm examining. It's it's Testicular Cancer Society Awareness Month. I'm trying to see if I have any. Here, look at this. Does this look like a lump to you?
Hey, you could have warned me, first of all. You could have warned me in a text before we did
look,
this.
I can't see back here. Is this a spot?
Is this a spot or a shadow?
Is this a spot or a shadow back here?
This may be a job for Patty. That is not in my job description.
We're buddies. We're dive buddies.
It's way out of my pay grade, buddy. And that's where we got to draw the line. Dive buddies.
Hey, everybody. This episode of the Great Dive Podcast is brought to you by our friends at Manscaped. Did you know that one man, every hour, every day, is diagnosed with testicular cancer? In fact, testicular cancer is the most common form of cancer amongst men aged 15 to 35. And April is National Testicular Cancer Awareness Month, and our friends over at Manscaped have partnered with the Testicular Cancer Society, helped spread some awareness for men's health and early cancer detection. So go over there and visit manscaped.com. Use /TCS. You know it, Testicular Cancer Society, or as Brando likes to say, Tango Charlie Sierra. So you can learn how to check yourself for early signs of cancer. And as always, you can use the promo code THEGREATDIVE for 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com.
Do they have a whiskey tango foxtrot? As in, what the fuck happened here? What is going on?
Brando, we're often funny and silly about our Manscaped ads.
We are.
And we thank them for sponsoring the Great Dive Podcast. And you guys should too, because it helps bring the show to you guys each and every week.
If you like the show.
Yeah, and they just extended us out for another 3 months of work with them.
It would be nice if they gave us like a 12-month, you know, they just had the faith. We know you got this. You guys are rocking.
As long as the people keep doing their job of checking out things like the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra.
This is where you get some lawnmower sound effects.
It's got, don't forget everybody, it's got those two skin-safe interchangeable blades.
Does it have a mulcher or a detachable bagger or both?
Brando, it's got even better. The thing's waterproof. You can shave in the shower, in the bath, in the ocean. You can shave on your next, you can shave on your 100th dive if you're doing the naked 100.
That's worth it right there.
Hashtag Manscaped Naked 100.
Hashtag Naked 100.
Hey, everybody. In addition to providing the right tools and solutions for comfortable and easy grooming, Manscaped is committed to raising awareness and giving support for fighters and survivors and families impacted by testicular cancer. That's why they're going to be donating, Brando, $50,000.
Wow.
To the Testicular Cancer Society. Help save lives and balls by going over to manscaped.com/TCS and sharing their funny educational check yourself video. And while you're at it, grab 20% off and free shipping with the code THEGREATDIVE. Because Brando, like a famous American philosopher once said, take care of your chicken, your balls, and your mentals.
What?
He said this? Take care of your chicken, your balls, and your mentals.
What are my mentals? I'm a little lost. What are my mentals? My brain?
If you take care of your balls and your chicken, your mental will be taken care of.
Okay.
I think is what he meant.
I don't know. Oh, no. It's a little mysterious, that quote. that famous American philosopher who said that.
Brando, we did it. The last dive. We did it.
That was a good one. That was a long one, a good one, and a much anticipated one as in the regard of we've been asked to do that for a long time.
It's been on our radar for years. It's been the subject of many discussions and many of emails people have asked us about. And from the feedback that we've gotten over the last month, I mean, it's garnered a lot of attention and a talk amongst the community about what our perspective was going to be on it. And then not only that, but everybody's expecting and asking for the follow-up already, which we were going to put off, but I don't think we have a choice now.
No, I don't think we should put it off either. It's kind of apropos to go right into this next great literary work concerning several of the characters that were in The Last Dive.
Yeah, but that means a lot more work.
It is a lot more work. It is a lot more work.
I'm sure the people out there think that it's just, you know.
They just get on and yap.
They're going to start talking about something. But, you know, something like those last four.
Yeah.
We had to go above and beyond the normal Great Dive podcast Call of Duty because it's such a beloved book by so many people that we had to have to make sure that we were actually accurate in what we were saying this time.
We read it a couple times. We had to listen to it, read it, go back through, and you know, it's like taking a goddamn course at school, like, but as grown ass, full ass adults with regular lives and children and life itself going on, you know, we're not college students that just take classes out of the blue. Anyway, it was just a lot more work than our normal, like, hey, let's pop on and talk about this, that, or the other thing.
Right. Because, you know, if we'd have got one date wrong.
Oh, we'd heard it.
Oh, we'd have heard all about it.
Yeah, not by everybody, but, you know, it's just that one squeaky wheel, man, that just fucking can bring everybody down.
Well, that's true.
On the reciprocal side, though, you got one good greaser out there who really takes all the squeaky wheel's badness away.
Well, there is, you know, we do get from time to time, we do get a couple of not stellar reviews, although it's been a while. I mean, the reviews, you know, the last one was, you know, hey, women, get out there and find another resource. Or they made a gross joke. He said something, you know, crass about Gallo's disgusting humor about this. You know, we get those every now and then. But, you know, the last number of them we've gotten have been really great reviews. Five stars, five stars, five stars, I must say. And I'll tell you what, one of them, this comes out of the UK. We got a five-star review, but he says, I hated them at first.
Of course. Some of my best friends hated me. Actually, most of my wife probably. No, she didn't. She loved me. She loved me from the moment she laid eyes on me. But no, sometimes that's how it works, right? A relationship is built by you striking a chord in somebody else's psyche, if you will.
Well, there's another one that we received, five stars. A great podcast. Don't listen to the whiny whiners, they say.
Whiny whiners. Pour me some wine. Yeah.
Which that was an uplifting review, you know?
Yeah.
Because we do get messages every now and again from some whiny whiners. That
yeah, they're not a lot. I mean, they're the 1 in 200, if that. So we don't get them very often. The problem is they stand out because they are so rare and because they are, you know, bitchy. I don't know what other way to put it. Whiny, bitchy.
They're whiny.
I would venture to say if you went into their mind and crawled around a while, you'd want to get the fuck out. But no, I bet they whine about a lot of shit. I mean, that's
well,
all.
You know what? Hey, I appreciate them coming out and checking out the show. I'm sorry, we're not for you.
Yeah,
there's other scuba podcasts out there. Go check them out. There's a lot of good ones. Give them a go.
That's a perfect way to put it. And as I said when we began this venture, if everybody likes us, we're doing something wrong. We have to have an opinion. We have to, you know, you have to say what you believe and what you believe is right. And not that we give our opinion all the time. I think we do a great job of just reporting things.
I think that's what we do. And it's when you get the one-star review from somebody that is like, I really hate his last name.
Well,
apparently,
hey, I get it. I get
apparently
it.
Apparently, they buy. They don't always have organic coffee.
Right. And there's a. I mean, there. The general
he drinks
public.
His mug out of his. Who drinks their mug with the right hand?
The general public is a tough. As
one
a whole,
star.
Yeah, as a whole, they're a tough cookie to please. You know, and you can't please everyone.
I would give this podcast 5 stars, but they live in Michigan.
There you go.
1 star. Yeah. I mean, come on.
You can't please everyone, James. To quote Ricky Nelson, you might as well please yourself. Or I went to a garden party. Okay, go ahead. Sorry. That's going to get a 1 star from me going off on the Ricky Nelson. They're probably like, who the fuck is Ricky Nelson? And if you don't know Garden Party and the rest of them.
How about this one from the Slippery Eel?
The Slippery Eel.
TGDP has improved my diving and life.
As we should have.
The Slippery Eel says TGDP is simply the best diving podcast around. James and Brando are absolute legends, and I have personally bought them a number of beverages of the adult variety just to pretend I'm talking to them on their show. They have an incredible content and are hilarious, and I hope to dive with those well-groomed fellas.
I love the Slippery Eel.
That's what she said.
Yes, I wasn't going to go there because I wasn't going to invite the whiny whiner to pop in and give us a 1 star.
5 stars, informative and witty, Brando. He must be talking about you.
I don't know about
Brando
that.
Brando and James are well-versed gentlemen that discuss a wide range of diving-related topics. Great job.
Thank you. That's nice to hear. That's nice to get a little accolade here and there.
I agree. You know, it when we get these reviews, people do know that we read every one of them, and they all mean a lot to us. Especially to you, Jenny 575, who said, come on in, the water's fine. 5 stars.
Nice.
She said, listening to these two men banter is immensely enjoyable and entertaining.
Wow. Jenny. That's Jenny?
That's Jenny said that. When's the last time your wife told you, listening to you talk,
was
immensely enjoyable and entertaining?
Oh, I get the opposite of that a lot.
Jenny says, I laugh every episode. The friendship between them shines through. I am a new diver, and you can gain a lot from just listening to this. I feel like I take quite a bit away from the show, and I really love hearing the stories that are told. Nice. Diving can be dangerous. Take it seriously and appreciate their honesty. I've been in law enforcement for 15 years, and you get a feel for when someone has experience, and you need to listen and take heed. I feel that here on this show. Maybe it's my career choice, but I completely dig their humor. Mine is much the same. So sit back, come with an open mind, and soak it all in.
Very nice. Thank you. Jenny sounds awesome. Jenny sounds like somebody I'd like to go have a beer with and talk about the job and the things you've done. And, yeah. I mean, that's probably at the source of our gallows humor is We didn't read books to learn. I mean, we did read books to learn about diving, but we also went diving, and we also have had lives and careers that have put us in predicaments where, like, you can't take life that seriously. It's all going to end up in a bloody mess for everybody.
Right, and I think the main point of our show that we said from day one was we wanted this show to have a feel of what happens when we go out to the pub
post dive
after a dive, and everybody that was out on the dive boat, you know, is all hungry and thirsty and grabs a bite to eat and grabs a beer, shares through some video that was shot, discusses the dive, and that be the feel of the show.
Talks about their impending divorce.
Why they would rather be out diving with us than their kids' school play that they were supposed to go to that they ditched out on.
Yeah, sorry, I had to.
Yeah,
I had to go
that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
And if you're not in that crowd, with the people that were on the dive boat,
you're a loser.
If you just get in your car and go home and don't do what we would say is probably the most important part of the dive is that hanging out with everybody afterwards. Yeah, you're probably not going to enjoy our show.
You're a loser, to quote Chris Rouse
Oh yeah, we were talking about something, weren't we? Well, Brando, we do have to give one more big shout out.
Absolutely.
We got a really nice donation and a really nice email from a gentleman.
Are we using the term loosely, or is he true gentleman? Is he British?
He's not British.
Is he a lord?
This came from George, and he said that Great Dive Podcast saved his life, literally.
Nice. Well, I'm glad, George, because I'm glad you're still this side of the dirt.
Not only that, he said, I can't tell you how many times you guys have saved my life, literally.
I mean, that's huge right there. To me, that speaks volumes as far as we're actually doing more than just yapping on the internet.
It's not all ball jokes.
It's not all ball jokes. Smooth ball jokes. Not only are the jokes smooth, but they're about smooth balls. There's a little play on words there. But smooth ball jokes, yes, that's just one dimension of our extremely complex persona as podcasters.
No, and somebody like George really, you know, takes it to heart and appreciates, you know, us having this opportunity to share 30 plus years of diving history to the world, that, you know, somebody like him can be just a new diver and be able to take all this experience into the water with him, where you and I never got that chance. There were not podcasts back in 1990 where you could just jump on and learn from all these different articles and magazines and real life experiences that we share with everybody week after week.
Yeah. I mean, you're 100% correct there. I mean, there are some decent ones out there, too, that I really like myself. I really enjoy. But I don't know. I think we're rather unique in the idea that we bring our own point of view with our experience, and we relate it to a lot of stories that we read and a lot of the magazine articles and things, even like Gareth's stuff and the human factors. I mean, that's all relatable to us in our diving careers.
He says, right on that point, he says, the sad thing, you know, after getting his open water and advanced open water, he didn't know what he didn't know. You know, it's the typical the typical thing, right? And he says, until he started listening to our show, he didn't realize how completely unprepared he was. And he says, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm still alive.
Well, thankfully, scuba is super forgiving. But, yeah, when you – it's just like a lot of folks that go out and do that little kind of resort course where they take you diving in a tropical paradise with a couple-hour primer, and you find yourself, you know, 60 feet below with the dive master swimming you underwater while holding onto your tank valves, right?
And I never crashed into the bottom once.
Exactly. And he's got two of
them. I'm a natural.
Yeah, both hands are filled. You know, thank God nothing happened. But when you realize all of the risk that you took and you relied on this complete stranger to basically help you survive underwater, again, that's you don't know what you don't know. And once you become educated, you go, what the fuck was I doing?
Well, yeah. And because right after relying completely on the hands of that stranger, knowing that, you know, they're going to let you go, they put your trust in technology and equipment to do it all for you next.
Right.
And for most people, it takes a lifetime of learning to really take ownership yourself of what you're doing in the water.
I mean, and that's at the heart of a lot of things that we go over, a lot of the incidents we talk about. And just our training philosophy is you're responsible for you. And that machine doesn't care about you. The technology doesn't care about you. You care about you. Your wife cares about you. Your husband cares about you. You know, whoever. You have to take care of yourself so that you come home. In order to do that, you have to become educated and skilled and treat diving with the respect it deserves, because you are going into an environment that is not very forgiving to humans when we fuck up badly. It's not conducive to human life.
Absolutely not. It is a hostile foreign environment.
And you should treat it as such. You know, give it the respect it deserves. Yeah.
Right. Which I think is the kind of the underlying point of a lot of our show. Yeah, we're trying to, you know, bring it back to the for people to appreciate what they're doing more, not just take it for granted of, yeah I'm a scuba diver.
Yeah. Again, what value is something you didn't put a lot of work into? Okay, you got to put work into it. You've got to learn. You have to get into the books. You have to practice. And hopefully you're learning from a skilled and educated instructor.
Yeah, I like what you said, you know, getting into the books, mm-hmm. which, you know, that's what I like the most about this show of ours.
Yeah.
Is diving. I mean, I've got, you know,
multiple
bookshelves here with, you know, full of books.
Your library, James. I think this was just an excuse to jack up the numbers in that extensive scuba library of yours.
I knew the state of Michigan was never going to name a library after me. I knew the United States government was never going to name a library after me. So I kind of had to make my own.
The Mott Library.
The James Mott Library of Scuba Knowledge Wonderment.
We need to make an acronym for it. We'll work on that. Maybe we can get some suggestions from the listeners.
Well, Brando, we do want to give a big shout out to not just George, but everybody who sends these donations into us. Huge, huge thank you. A couple new Patreon sponsors have popped up. Thank you guys for that. We still need to do our Great Dive Podcast Patreon sponsorship dive one of these days down at good old Gilboa Quarry.
I like it. I think that'd be a great idea. Why don't we put something on the calendar August or September?
August.
Okay.
If you guys are interested in joining us for the Great Dive Podcast Dive Day in August, shoot us a message. Let us know. We'll start putting that together.
Yeah, that'd be a fun day.
So I guess, Brando, at the end of the day, we just want to give a big shout out and a big thank you to all of the listeners and friends and dive buddies out there of the Great Dive Podcast. And we are thankful that you tuned in and spread the word about The Last Dive. And we are, in fact, getting started on the one that everybody's been asking about, which is Shadow Divers, of course, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and if you don't know, Shadow Divers is basically John Chatterton and Richie Kohler's challenge to identify that sunken U-Hu, German U-boat, right?
Yeah, so this one was actually written by a professional author, like we had said before, Robert Kersen, and he basically heard the story and interviewed John and Richie, and it's really from the perspective of John and Richie versus The Last Dive. It's about the same wreck, but The Last Dive is more about Chris and Chrissy Rouse, and in particular, that last dive of theirs is what it's all centered around, which does exist in this book as well. And that's one of the questions that we were getting is, are you guys going to address some of the controversy, you know, between the two books? Because it plays out a little bit differently.
Well, yeah, there's one, you know, extremely glaring difference that although it doesn't really affect, how can I say this, the storyline per se, but it's a tidbit of factual data that does paint a different picture depending on who's telling the truth.
It definitely raises an eyebrow.
Yeah.
Of like, okay, why is that so drastically different?
Right. It's almost opposite in this one regard, right? And we'll go over it. Let's not tell any of the listeners really any details. Hopefully they'll tune in do they still stay tuned in? Do people still say that?
Same Great Dive Podcast time. Same Dive Great Dive Podcast.
Because you used to have to tune your channel in there on your television. But hopefully
how old are you?
Exactly. How old am I? I've seen it all, baby. But no, that's a great point, because they do cover the fatal dive of Chris and Chrissy Rouse and what led up to it, and the discovery of the Yoo-Hoo, and a lot of things that were already covered in the last dive. But then they go further and detail a lot of, you know, what they had to do to try to identify this wreck, and further detail incidents that happened on the wreck, right? Diving, and get into some of the actual diving of the East Coast.
Written in a completely different way than Bernie's The Last Dive.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That's much more of a storyteller perspective.
Right.
Bernie's book is kind of his perspective, his interpretation of having known and having dived with Chris and Chrissy Rouse, and kind of telling his little story of everything. You know, Robert Kirsten sat, you know, he heard the story and then sat down with Richie, sat down with John, and wrote a whole different story, more based from their firsthand perspective, which differs, you know, from the Bernie story from here and there.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's a lot of, you know, it's like the old, you know, notion of, you know, I've got my version of the story, you've got your version of the story, and then somewhere in the middle is the truth.
Maybe in the middle. But on Robert Kirsten's behalf, too, if you read the last chapter about sources, he does state, like, he and both Kohler and Chatterton state, he asked their wives, their ex-wives, their, you know, Chatterton's former colleagues in Vietnam, and you know, he was a Vietnam Army medic, combat medic, so they did get other perspectives as well, not just Richie and John's. They did try to back it up and get a little more round out vision of it, right?
Well, because it sounds to me like, reading through it, that Robert Kirsten put a lot more research, technical research, into the writing of the book.
I'd agree.
Where, you know, it came out a couple years after Bernie's. Bernie's to me seems a little bit more like he sat down in front of his home computer and wrote this book.
Yeah.
Whereas Kirsten, you know, did a lot more interviewing and research to put together his book, which goes, you know, we gave Bernie a hard time about going so deeply into the history of scuba diving, and the growth of technical diving was a whole third of that whole entire book. Boy, I mean, Kirsten goes into you want a war history of World War II and the German Navy. He goes deep into it all.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's not to say Bernie didn't do a great job, because it was fantastic.
No, I don't mean to skirt it that way.
Yeah, but
I'm just meaning there's got to be so many perspectives.
There is, and it's funny you mentioned that, because there's even another perspective of Gary Gentile, who, if most of our divers don't know, or most of our listeners don't know, Gary Gentile was also one of the pioneers of deep wreck diving, and he was doing it on air and finally went to Trimix. But Gary's got, if you look up Gary Gentile, and he was one of the guys that kind of sparked me into technical diving as well. I mean, I loved Gary Gentile. I've got his books. I've got his encyclopedia.
He was
diving.
A local Great Lakes guy. Remember him coming into the dive shop.
Yeah.
When I was just a kid, you know, I had no idea. I just thought he was like a crazy deep diver.
He's a crazy
deep diver. All the old guys at the dive shop around me, they're just all recreational instructors. Like, oh, he's a wacko, old Gary Gentile. You know, and he'd come in showing these books of beautiful photography back there in the 90s.
Oh, he was a photographer, too. He was
of these shipwrecks that were like, you didn't see this stuff anywhere.
No, he was, you know, a diver's diver, and also, you know, instrumental is the right word. It doesn't say enough. Gary was at the root, at the core of East Coast wreck diving, Great Lakes wreck diving. I remember Gary diving Isle Royale back in the day, you know, before anybody was diving Isle Royale. Not that there's a lot of folks that dive Isle Royale, but yeah, Gary was the man, and he's got a lot of books. I mean, he's done like 45 books. But this one is called Shadow Divers Exposed, where he goes in and, to quote some of the internet, it basically exposes some of the the what is called exaggerations or outright blatant wrong information given in Shadow Divers.
Wait, are you saying there's drama in scuba diving?
I think this is a great example, and it's probably a little, you know, it's a little microcosm of the macrocosm there. This is actually showing, I mean, the fucking soap opera bullshit that went on back in the day, and obviously it still goes on.
By doing these three books alone are going to capture the entire soap opera that is the scuba diving industry.
And the funny thing is, you know, like our philosophies that we've attached ourselves to, if you want to call it that. When I started technical diving, I learned the way that these guys are talking about diving. You know, it's basically, you know, gorilla diving, kind of grunted out, deep air, carry all kinds of shit with you, hold on to the bottom, all that kind of shit. Before I went into, you know, I found my people, if you will, at GUE and the DIR crowd. And not that I'm a fucking zealot preaching to people, but I do identify more with that philosophy of finesse and art and that kind of thing. All that being said, I think both you and I subscribe to that philosophy, and everybody we're talking about basically does not.
Well, especially back in this day, yes, back in the early day. 90s, right? Yeah, to clarify that, right? Because, you know, in 2024, I'm a John Chatterton fan. You know, I'm a Richie Kohler fan. But their type of diving and what we were learning, you know, was the opposite back in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
Or, you know, in the late 90s, they're that type of diving, which is what I was being presented, which scared the hell out of me when I was a, you know, young kid, yeah, wanting to go a little bit deeper. It was this, and I was like, what? Like, that's,
yeah, this is
like
not,
this doesn't make sense, man. This sounds like really crazy, yeah, like underwater Russian roulette here. Like, there's got to be a smarter way.
Yeah, there was something missing, and I think, you know, we both could see that after going through that training and trying to embrace their philosophy of diving.
And I think everybody involved eventually realized that. But at the time, it was, you know, stick to your guns, you know,
yeah,
you know, draw the line in the sand, and right, I'm going to fight to the dying death and for deep air. And I'm going to fight to the diving, yes, you know, the dying death for, uh-huh, for this new system. And, you know, it's been fun.
Yes, it has been fun. It's been interesting. It's like a like I say, it's a fucking soap opera, but it's drama on steroids, but in real life, and you're kind of in it. You're watching it. You're, you know, I'm just grabbing my popcorn. I'm not really participating in the discussion, but I'm watching and listening, and right there, you know, doing the dives, going, I don't know if being down here at 230 feet is great on air. I mean, I love being narked. I love it. Trust me. But I don't feel the confidence that I'd like to feel, you know?
Right. And I think everybody, you know, eventually came that way. And if somebody sat down, you know, you can't anymore because he, you know, very shortly after, you know, passed away. But if you had somebody that sat down strictly with Bill Nagel's perspective, I'm sure you'd have a whole different book to write. And if you had somebody write a story that was primarily focused on Steve Belinda's perspective, you'd have another whole different book.
Well, yeah,
all still about the same Yoo-Hoo shipwreck.
Well, that's like if you look at World War II and you listen to Hitler talking, he has a different perspective. Everybody always believes they're
I was just making a better Germany.
Everybody always believes they're on the side of right and good. They always, nobody's like, I'm the bad man in the story. They're not doing that. They don't
right.
do that. So everybody believes they're right and good and moral. And that's part of the beauty of living on the planet is there are different perspectives and there are different ways to view things. It's just that when you're so hooked on your personal viewpoint that you don't even have a little creak of an opening to have somebody else go, hey, but there might be something different. Well, then that's where the sparks fly, and the drama is just exaggerated to the nth degree, and it's
let
awesome.
Alone when somebody writes a book,
yes.
and they didn't ask you about your slightly different perspective that yeah. you know is very important that needs to be told.
Yeah,
especially today with the wonderful world of Amazon and anybody can be an author.
Right. Well, you can self-publish so easily yeah. on the internet. I mean, it's – as a matter of fact, I've got this new book coming out. How to podcast.
How? Make sure you go to Amazon and buy Jamesy and Brando's new book, Shadow Divers Podcasting.
Shadow Podcasters.
Podcasting about Shadow Divers. Available on Amazon and Kindle.
There's a lot of parallels between, to find these guys arguing with each other is really wild because there's a lot of parallels. They did a lot of the same diving. They approached diving in the same way, I have to believe. They were East Coast divers, wreck divers, they were, and of course, Gary was a legend back then, and published all these books and his photography.
Right, because we'll remember back, when we did the Deep Air stuff, years ago, Gary and Brett Gilliam were buddies.
Yeah.
And, part of the big fight, Gary was out there trying to get rights to dive on the monitor. And the government, back then was saying that's too deep. There's no reason to go dive on that shipwreck. It's too deep. Nobody should be doing it. So they were fighting a crusade to get onto these dive sites.
Yeah.
And fight that limitation of you can't go beyond that red line of 130 feet.
Which they eventually gave in. And I think Michael Barnett is doing it with NOAA or did it with NOAA back in the day. And when I say the day, early 2000s.
We're not done, people. We're... fasten your seatbelts. We're just getting going on this yoo-hoo.
This is going to be good because I don't think there's controversy. Well, except for that one little sticking point that we'll bring up in our discussion between Bernie's last dive and Kirsten's Shadow Divers. We'll bring that up tell you our personal viewpoints, I guess. But
and we get to dive into some really interesting new scuba characters.
New scuba characters. And we're going to go a little more in depth into Chatterton and Kohler and of course, Bill Nagel, a little bit on Steve Belinda, and then a couple other guys that are out there mentioned in the last dive that are in Kirsten's book, Shadow Divers. Yeah. But I'm really looking forward to hearing what Gary Gentile has to say about Shadow Divers itself as well.
It's going to be a fun story. It's going to be a fun ride. It's going to be a fun dive. Brando, you could say it's going to be a great dive.
It's going to be a great dive. It's going to be multiple dives, multiple great dives on the incredible site. So it's going to be a good one.
Well, there you go, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this short little episode today. We're just kind of catching our breath and reorganizing our desks here for what's coming next.
Because
we've got another deep dive that we're going to go into for you guys. It's going to be a multi-parter again. So thank you for joining us. Thank you for sticking with us. Thank you for sharing the podcast with your friends and dive buddies around the world. Thank you to all you donators out there, all you sponsors, sticker purchasers, all that stuff. We couldn't do the show without you guys. Thank you for everybody who's went over to Manscaped and ordered yourself a little something for Manscaped or something for your dive buddy. That's really what, at the end of the day, you got to pay those bills to keep the show here. So
yeah, and if you like it, I mean, hey, buy us a cup of coffee. That's all. Buy us a cup of coffee.
Brando.
Jamesy.
Till next week.
Yeah, this actually might be a rebreather dive. This is deep. It's long. I don't know if we can carry this much
gas. Your stage bottle's not going to cut it.
We're going to need way more than a stage bottle for this dive.
How did you get all those spare airs around your waist like that?
I've got a little, what are those little bullet bullet things called? Hold all your ammo.
Bandolero.
Bandolero. Yes, I've got
your bandolero. Your bandolero of spare airs. There's 27 of them on you. 26 of them are free flowing.
I need a bandolero. I have a bandolero of spare airs for this one. So it's going to be a good one.
All right, everybody. We will talk to you next week.
And until then, don't you go change.